The Supreme Court looks at the cost-effectiveness of environmental regulation.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From 8 p.m. in New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Global Perspective on Business and the Economy. Coal-fired power plants put out toxins like mercury, a pollutant linked to problems with fetal development and other ill effects. The news is the U.S. Supreme Court is taking on a case challenging clean air rules put into place by the Environmental Protection Agency. The issue raises broader questions about regulating power plants as the Obama administration plans to issue further rules. Marketplace's Scott Tong joins me now from our sustainability desk. Morning, Scott.
Yeah, good morning, David.
So tell us more about the regulation and the challenge here.
Well, about 600 power plants in this country burn coal and thus emit mercury and arsenic and other pollutants. The EPA rule limits those emissions, so plants have to install expensive equipment to either do that or they have to shut down. Now, all this costs industry an estimated $10 billion every year. And the challenge here argues that the EPA did not appropriately consider those costs. Now, the agency says, yes, we did. And by the way, the benefits to society and lives saved outweigh the cost by 4-1. So, David, that's the outline to this fight.
But if industry wins this case, what might the real effect be?
Directly? Maybe not so much. 6 in 10 plants have already made changes. And there's a bigger threat out there to coal plants. And that's not the government. It's natural gas plants, which are much cheaper to run. The real issue may be future challenges. There is a big, dizzying list of current and future power plant rules. And if the feds are found to be making them incorrectly, that could throw several in question.
Speaking of which, we have a separate set of regs on the way, I think today, from the president.
Yes, on ozone, what you and I call smog. The EPA will propose updated standards today. And down the road, one of the biggest fights is curbing carbon emissions from future and current and future power plants. Put it all together, and this is arguably the signature environmental initiative for this president.
All right. Marketplace's Scott Tong from the Sustainability Desk. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
There's now a movement to respond to the Missouri grand jury's decision not to indict a police officer in the killing of a black 18-year-old. On social media, the idea of a boycott is circulating, asking people not to shop on the post-Thanksgiving shopping day dubbed Black Friday, Marketplace's Dan Weissman reports.
A Black Friday boycott could hurt low-income consumers more than anyone. Surveys show this group represents a disproportionate number of Black Friday shoppers looking for deals. Kurt Carlson studies consumer behavior at Georgetown.
If people boycott these retail sales, I actually think it's probably good for the retailers.
They'll just sell the same stuff later at higher prices.
Unless people say, I am not spending this holiday season.
And they might do that if they pay attention to another idea circulating on social media: donate to Ferguson's public library. Rob Sense is with economic modeling specialists. He looks at how dollars spent on different things benefit a local economy. So first, he looked at big box retail and a number called a multiplier. That's how much of the money stays local. Then he looked at local government, like the library.
Oh, yeah, you got a higher multiplier, so that all their money is going to stay in the region.
He also looked at how much workers got paid and how many jobs got created.
Earnings multipliers higher, jobs multipliers higher.
Advantage, Ferguson Library. In Chicago, I'm Dan Weissman for Marketplace.
Now let's check the numbers. The 100-share index in London is currently up 0.25%. Dow, S&P, and NASDAQ futures are up. Crude oil, using the Texas price, is up 0.2% to $74.23 a barrel, with OPEC meeting tomorrow. Now a story about our uneven abilities to assess risk. At a time that the threat of Ebola was scaring Americans, many were not sparing a thought for the flu. Influenza can kill adults as well as children, put thousands of adults into the hospital, and sickens 1 out of 10 of us every year. Yet, people often can't get it together for a flu shot. Michigan Radio's Kate Wells looks into some reasons why.
Rick Monnier is standing right outside a grocery store, the kind of place where you can get a flu shot in 2 minutes for $28, even less if you've got insurance. And Monnier is a senior citizen, a group for whom the flu can be fatal. But Monnier says while he gets all the rest of his vaccinations, he does not like the flu shot.
I don't believe in it because we're injecting something into our body that necessarily I don't need. And so I try to stay away from people that have it. Or if I get it, we'll just go through the motions.
Tina Dale is a mom who makes sure that her kids get the shots, but she doesn't.
I got it once and got sick, and I will never get it again.
Fewer than half of all Americans actually get the flu shot, according to the Centers for Disease Control. That is despite the fact that the flu shot does not contain a live virus or anything else that can give you the flu. Last flu season, 109 kids died from complications. But let's say that you're a healthy adult. You don't have kids. Do you really need the flu shot?
The more people that get shots, the safer the group will be.
This is Professor Andrew Maynard. He's the director of the University of Michigan's Risk Science Center. And he says even if you don't care about getting sick, getting the flu shot can protect others.
Especially those young kids that haven't got shots, those people that are particularly vulnerable. So this is really a social duty.
But Maynard says our brains are just not built to be smart about risk. We're way more scared of the unfamiliar, like Ebola. But something so common, like the flu, it's just hard to be scared of that.
That doesn't make sense on an emotional level. So at the end of the day, we just have to make the plunge, and we have to just trust somebody that this is going to be okay for us.
Still, public health experts agree that until flu shots are good for years, rather than something you have to get every 12 months, we're just never going to get everybody to get that shot. In Ann Arbor, I'm Kate Wells for Marketplace.
And a month ago, the managers of the Golden Gate Bridge voted to study the idea of charging a toll for pedestrians and bicyclists, and an uproar ensued. The bridge's budget is projected to be more than $30 million in the red over the next 5 years. Now, two members of the California Assembly are saying they will introduce a bill next week to keep the bridge free for walkers and bikers. You might say, what's next? Maybe a toll to walk New York's High Line Elevated Park, a toll to cross the Washington Mall, a toll to get into the Grand Canyon. Wait, they already charge $12 to get into Grand Canyon Park to those on bikes or on foot. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.